Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, when we think of babies, we often think of them as sort of blank slates, sort of unformed in mind, tiny humans just beginning to experience the world. But when it comes to pain, their brains tell a very different story. Today, we're joined by Lorenzo Fabrizi. He's a professor of developmental systems neuroscience at University College London, whose research has been looking into why newborns feel pain very differently to adults. And what does that mean for how we care for them? Well, Lorenzo joins me now. Welcome to the program, Lorenzo. I suppose for people listening, I suppose this might be a difficult topic just to be aware of that. Can you tell me a little bit about how we experience pain generally as adults and why that is something of interest to explore in newborns?
So pain is a very complex experience that incorporates various aspects, incorporates a sensory aspect, this is the most obvious, but it also includes emotional aspect and a cognitive aspect to it. So that complexity in the adult is reflected by the complexity of the brain network that is engaged when experiencing pain. Now, the reason why it's important to understand how pain is processed in the neonate is because one in every 10 births worldwide are born prematurely. And the youngest and the sickest of those babies, they spend the first days of life, even sometimes even months, like in neonatal care, where they experience multiple clinical procedures, clinical intervention that are tissue damaging and therefore potentially painful. So we need to understand how the brain handles this information, also because these early intervention are actually have long-term consequences in the way those babies, when they grow up, they experience pain, or even more broadly, in they have an impact on their cognition and overall abilities.
So you're saying that if preterm babies or newly born children undergo painful procedures as an important clinical procedure that they require, that this has long-term effects?
Correct.
Right. So what sort of way do babies perceive pain, and how on earth can we measure something like that?
That's a very good question, Jonathan. So the gold standard to understand how somebody is experiencing pain is just by asking. Mm. You know, like, does that hurt? And then yes, no, right? So that's a very, very simple, there's a very simple concept, but that's the gold standard. However, what happens when the person under investigation, the subject cannot speak, right? And that's true for neonates. It's true for many other populations. But in our case, today we are talking about neonates. The babies cannot tell us if they're in pain or not. So what normally happens, we need to use what are called proxy measures, right? So they are measures that we think may be related to the pain experience, but not necessarily. So the most obvious one is crying, right? So you say, oh, if a baby is crying, then he's in pain.
Yeah.
Right, but if you dig into it, you realize that crying is not so specific to pain. You know, babies cry for all sorts of reasons, not only for if you are experiencing pain. Mm. On top of that, if you look at the brain, as we established, the brain is where pain is. You know, pain is in the brain. Mm. If you don't have a brain, you don't experience pain.
Yes.
Okay. So if we look at the brain of a neonate, even just the structure of it, it's very different from the brain of an adult. It's not just a tiny version of it. Mm. It's actually different.
This is actually a really key point because over time, we develop cognition, sense of self, and all these sort of things start to tie our body's experience of the world to what's going on inside our brain. But with newborn babies, those connections are not made and strengthened in the same way. And so sort of thinking patterns or the parts of the brain that we would assume to be distinct in adults are much less so in babies?
Correct. Exactly. So, as you said, the connections are weaker to start with and they get stronger. Sometimes they become even hyper-connected.
Yeah.
And then after birth, we have what is called pruning. So you have a selection of the connection that are required, growing up in adulthood. So if we look at so what we did in the should I talk about what we did in this experiment?
Please.
So what we looked at, we looked at the development of this brain network that we know from adult is necessary for pain perception. Mm. Okay. And so what we did, and the way you look at that using functional MRI, which is a brain imaging method where you look at spontaneous cortical activity and how correlated that activity is. And if the activity is highly correlated, it means that the brain is connected. So, and then you acquire that at rest. So while the baby is asleep, this is work done by my colleague, King's College London. It's like a very groundbreaking work. So the baby is asleep, so it gets a feed. So it's kind of drowsy and dopey. And then it gets strapped into a harness in order to keep him as still as possible.
When you say sleep, you're talking about anesthetic, or can we not put babies under anesthetic in the same way?
We can't put babies under anesthetic for research purposes. So they are just asleep, naturally asleep.
Right. Okay.
So they're strapped, and then they're put in an MRI scanner, so we can record their spontaneous activity, and then look how correlated that is across this, let's call it pain network. Okay.
So you want to look at functional MRI? Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So functional MRI is kind of like a moving photograph of the activity in your brain, and although people might think you can sort of read people's mind from it, it's not as clear as that. But
no, it's not that clear.
Yeah. But with functional MRI, you need somebody's head in an MRI, which if anyone's ever been in an MRI, which I have, is a pretty scary big machine. Makes it very difficult to do surgery in there because it's a giant magnet. I mean, when you're looking at these babies' brains, is it before or after the surgery? Because surely it's not during.
No, it's definitely not during. This is just the activity at rest.
Right.
So it's not related to any surgery. It was like the baby were recruited from the neonatal unit. Parents consented for the baby to be scanned, and then they were going to the scanner.
Right.
So it was not the purpose of the experiment was to see the existence of this pain network, was not to look at how it is engaged during a painful event. But, if that makes sense.
But when we're talking about a baby's brain, which as you say has some networks that are hyperconnected and some that aren't connected, it's so different from the adult brain. When you look at this area, are we certain that the activity you see is the same pain pathway as we see in adults?
So the activity, as you say, is quite different. However, you can still measure connectivity between the brain areas in a similar way as you do in adults.
Right. Okay.
By taking into account the fact that the activity is different.
Okay. So the question around the study was: do babies have the required structure to experience pain? And when you did an MRI on these newborns, what did you find?
So what we found is that at the beginning of the equivalent of the last of the third trimester of gestation, so at 28 weeks post-menstrual age, which is 28 weeks after the last menstrual period of the mother, which is basically about 6 months, the strength of the connection in the pain network was much, much weaker than in adult. Now, over the equivalent of the third trimester of gestation, so between 28 postmenstrual weeks up to 40 weeks postmenstrual weeks, which is the age of normal birth, the strength of this connection increased quite rapidly, but it didn't increase linearly, first of all, and it didn't increase at the same speed for all the subnetwork of the pain network. So what we did, we split the pain network into its three main subcomponents, which is the sensory component, so the one that encodes the sensory aspect of pain, their emotional and the cognitive component. So it's three main components. Mm. And what we found is that the sensory component is the one that developed the quickest.
Right.
And first, followed by the affective and followed by the cognitive.
Mm. And I suppose that's not surprising because of the what we know about how cognitive function develops in newborns.
It matches what we understand of the kind of the hierarchy of the development of our functions.
So what does that mean for how preterm or newborn babies feel pain, and how does that inform maybe how we might decide when to perform a surgery or not?
Yeah, so my interpretation, this is my interpretation, I just want to make it clear. So my interpretation, it means that pain in a preterm neonate is most likely a predominantly sensory experience. So it doesn't have much of the aversive connotation that he has for us, because the network that are responsible for encoding that aspect of pain are not developed yet. So it's almost like that the babies sense the incoming of a painful stimulus, but they don't understand it.
Mm.
If that in simple terms.
So does that mean it's not painful?
It's experienced differently.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it's not painful. Mm. The pain is a different experience for what we understand.
So does that, I mean, should we then think differently about how when we're talking about preterm babies or newborns who are undergoing any sort of clinical procedure that's likely to cause pain because of tissue damage, it's not a decision that's taken lightly. So is there anything that we can do differently, do you think, to treat these babies to reduce their pain?
So my point of view and what this study suggests is that what we need to try to do is to minimize the sensory input from the get-go, rather than try to use other approaches that, for example, distraction, that have to do more with the ability of tapping into the cognitive network. So that would be my recommendation. It's like that the way we manage pain has to be changing over development. First, from maybe more sensory standpoint, and then as the brain mature, maybe potentially using other intervention that instead.
Right. Okay. So I suppose more research is required, and we'd need to understand this this development of pain in newborns more carefully, but I suppose how we apply anesthetics or how we treat pain, given the consequences of longer term complications, it's something we really do need to figure out. Really interesting. Professor Lorenzo Fabrizi from University College London, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.